he's like, no, true love. We make you smile.
I don't like the original because everyone dies.
It's such a downer.
Such a bummer.
Honestly, though, I think I like the Disney versions better.
No, yeah, no, seriously.
I know it's cheesy, but I don't care.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Anime Summit Podcast. We are your three hosts, Sussy, Dussy, and Nussy.
What the fuck?
Oh, oh, man.
You're a sussy baka.
Oh, man. Shout out to Blaze for that intro. This is the Anime Summit Podcast. I'm Sam. Of course, with me every week is Danny.
So.
And Nick.
Are you drinking a bubbly?
The bubbly bubbly.
Nope, this is a good and gather.
This is a good and gather.
You should be drinking a bubbly.
Yuzu Mandarin.
The generic bubbly.
Fun
bubbly.
Fact, don't let bubblies sit out because it tastes like vomit.
Dang.
You got to drink them fast. You got to drink them in an hour.
You know what? That reminds me of this movie that we watched called Bubble on Netflix. It's really cool. We're going to talk about today. Get the old bubble. So if you're listening right now and you're just chilling at home, you know, it's after work, you're kicking your feet up, why don't you get yourself a little bubbly bubbly, pour yourself a little bit of the bubbly. You know, maybe make a little nighttime mimosa. A little bit of mimosa. A little bit of the bubbly. I always thought it was funny that people called champagne the bubbly like that. But
it is bubbly.
It is bubbly, though. But yeah, dude, we're going to talk about Bubble, the passion project by Tetsuro Araki and Gen Urobuchi, the butcher. Who's popping the butcher? And we're going to just jump right into that bitch, dude. It was a great movie, and I'm excited to talk about it. So, links.animesummit.net. You can go there, join the Discord, and instant links to listen to... You know, whichever your preferences, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify. Leave us ratings on Spotify. Because I was reading a thing that was like, if you get 100 ratings on Spotify, then it's like, you know, good for you. And I would very much, I don't
then
know how
Joe
many...
Rogan gives you a congratulations call.
Yes. I don't remember how, I don't know, like, if it's, I just read that it was like, it makes your podcast more invisible and stuff. And I know a lot of people don't, not everyone listens on Spotify. But if you do, and you're out there listening on Spotify right now, and you haven't given us a rating on Spotify, please do.
We got 38 so far.
Oh, well, that's awesome. Okay. I did not know
that's,
that.
That's more than I thought, actually, because Spotify is kind of weird. I think more people listen on other stuff than Spotify, don't they?
Yeah, I think mostly Google and Apple is like the most. Apple definitely is one of the most, but I think Spotify is getting big now for sure. It's like, I got to look at the numbers. It gives me a little pie chart, actually, of like what people use. I got to go look at that. But yeah, if you're listening on Spotify and you haven't given us a rating, please do. And patreon.com/animesummit, you can go there, become a patron. And right now I am working on something for the patrons that I had announced last week with a little image, and today I put out like a little 20-minute audio explaining what that is. And so if you want to, you know, be a part of that, you definitely should if you're already on Patreon and you want to get in on some of that, listen to that, and let me know what you think. That being said, listener question of the week, Nick.
This is from Acuphoria. Welcome. Is this a new patron? This has got to be a new patron, right?
They've been a patron for a while, but then
like they were lurking. Okay.
Yeah, and then they stopped for a while, and then they came back. They re-upped. All right. So, yeah, okay. Yeah. They're awesome. Yeah.
I'm just glad I don't have to read King's questions anymore. Jeez. Okay, so Acuphoria's question is, what is an anime that changed your life or changed your perspective, and how?
Evangelion. Absolutely did.
Sam, can you say it like like you're drunk, can you be like Evangelion? Can you do that?
Like the drunk valley girl. Like,
yeah. Yeah, do that, do that.
When I was 16, we watched Neon Genesis Evangelion. And it changed my life. Like.
I know who you freaking sound like. You sound like one of the fucking voice actors on Big Mouth.
Oh, yeah.
If you think about it, Skull is like the angels.
Yeah.
And the school bus is like Unit 1. Get on the school bus, Sherry. Wait, what's a Zoomer name now? Cersei. All right, there you go.
No, Cersei.
That's post Zoomer. You just pick like a character from a, I don't know, Leia. There you go. Star Wars.
Hunter or you know.
Oh yeah, Hunter.
Zachariah,
yeah.
Or something like that. Jeremiah.
No, I'm thinking of a girl. What are all these Utah names, Danny? What is this?
Utah.
All right.
Oh man.
Or Hallie.
What about you, Danny? And no naming your favorite anime. Name a shitty anime. I'm just kidding. Go.
Name a shitty anime.
I'm sorry. I can't speak for Nick because I know the anime that changed his life, and that's School Days.
Oh yeah. It showed me that men are better than women, you know.
Fuck you.
All right, what about you, Danny?
Fruits Basket, hands down.
I knew you were going to say that.
My Goddess also kind of changed my life, too. And A Silent Voice as well.
Like, yeah, Silent Voice is good.
A Silent Voice definitely was a life-changing experience, you know. Not for me personally, but throughout my life of watching anime and actually seeing, you know, awareness for people who are deaf and everything like that, that was cool to see. I definitely want to see more of that. So
yeah, that's a good thing too. Like I would also say Rune Explorers has changed my life because that was a gateway into me getting into other things that weren't like Dragon Ball, Sailor Moon, and Yu-Gi-Oh, and the things that were on TV, you know. So anyway, what about you, Nick, for real, honestly?
School Days.
Yeah. Aiken, I'm just kidding. So I'm thinking of one that I should have watched earlier that could have helped me earlier. Haibane Renmei.
Haibane Renmei is so good. Yeah.
That's one that I think people should watch when they're like even younger, like maybe 16 to 20.
You're going
probably
through the
good time to watch that.
You're going through the motions. You're going through growing pains.
Yeah, well, it's just the themes of that really apply to like older teenagers, early 20s people.
Yeah.
So I don't want to spoil it, but it's kind of like a redemption, like purgatory type of story. So.
Maybe
everybody go watch Haibane Renmei. It's really strange because it looks kind of ugly, but it's like it's so good. The music's great. It's
I would argue whether regardless of your age, if you're just kind of just wandering around, you don't know what to do with your life. Maybe this is a good movie or show for you. You know, yeah. But no, that's a good one.
Well, I don't even know if it's about that. It's more like about
definitely
asking
more,
for help, pretty much.
Yeah, more
like
coming
if you need
of age.
It.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't even think it's coming of age. I think it's just asking for help, that type of thing. But, you know, that's something that people could do more, you know, because everyone thinks they can do it on their own and all that. So, yeah. Evangelion 2, you know, Sam never said why Evangelion. We just made you do the Valley Girl voice.
Oh, I mean, it just, you know.
That's really good.
It's really good. No, for me personally, after I watched End of Eva for the first time, I kind of felt like my worldview of what I thought certain things were supposed to be was I don't know. I grew up in a Catholic. My mom tried to, you know, make me go to church and whatever. And I thought there, you know, everything I kind of like when I kind of looked up and researched all the themes, you know, of Evangelion after watching End of Eva, I was kind of like, holy shit, you know, and I kind of just felt like
church is fake.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I was just kind of like, and I was going through, I was a teenager, right, going through the motions and stuff like that. And I just kind of was like, I am going to make things how I want to make them and do it when I want to do it, because I'm not trying to be like, I'm not going to try and get in the robot when someone wants me to, you know, kind of thing, whatever, yeah. Some, whatever. But like, yeah, no, it really kind of shattered my view of everything. So now it kind of made me start questioning everything even more than I already was. But yeah, no, it was awesome. It was fucking sick. Anyway, good question, Akiforia, with actually good question. Like the last,
yeah, unlike King, geez.
Yeah, fucking King. Last three questions was like, "What kind of wings do you like when watching?" I love King's question. Dude, King is funny, dude. King is fucking amazing.
I like negative Scovilles.
Negative Scovilles.
Unspice.
Waifu and husbando, Danny.
Waifu is Yuta, and husbando is Hibiki.
Uta from the movie Bubble.
Two main characters.
Yeah. Uta and Hibiki. Hell yeah. Yeah, dude. So let's do it. Let's do it. This is also a good one. You guys should watch it. So this came out in 2022. This premiered in Japan, had early screenings at the Berlin International Film Festival in February of 2022, so literally just like 4 months ago, and was released on Netflix on April 28th, 2022. Most of the work was done at Wit Studio, directed by Tetsuro Araki. Written by Gen Urobuchi, and along with Naoko Sato and Renji Oki. Character design by Takeshi Obata. Music by Hiroyuki Sawano. And multiple animation directors. And a whole slew of just... The staff for this was mad huge. But some of the notable ones is Tatsuya Murakami, Chihiro Saito, and Kyoji Asano. A lot of the animation staff and directors and key animation staff and in-betweeners were people who worked on the last three seasons of Attack on Titan and Kabaneri of the Iron Fortress, and some other notable ones that have been done at Wit Studio. The OP is called Bubble featuring Uta by Eve.
And is that the song they play throughout the entire movie, or is that a different song?
No, that's the one right at the opening, like because like yeah, there's like that anime opening sequence, you know.
Okay, okay. Yeah. There's a song that they constantly replay.
Yeah, yeah. And then the ED is Jane Matane by Ririya, which is Uta's VA. So, hell yeah, there you go.
There's speculation that Gen Urobuchi was not like the primary writer, like they. It's possible that they kind of used his name. Like, he probably helped, but he wasn't, like, the main person writing it. This doesn't really feel like something he would write either.
It kind of doesn't, but it kind of did. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's weird. But, like...
Yeah, Sato... I'm reading what they said on Anime News Network, and they were just kind of speculating that maybe the Sato had more to do with it, but...
Because Naoko Sato and Renji Oki, their resumes are kind of bare, if you will. So maybe it was kind of like them writing it and Urobuchi was like overseeing, you know, maybe. Either way.
Yeah, to get them in there. Like he his name helped it get it made, and then they, you know, did,
mm-hmm.
They got that experience and all that. I don't know. It's possible.
It's possible. Either way, for Naoko Sato and Renji Oki, it's good to have on your resume because this movie was sick. Like, I thought it was dope.
No, we'll see about that, Sam.
Look,
some mixed reviews.
Yeah, mixed reviews. Don't listen to critics, okay? No, I thought it was. I thought it was great. I don't know anybody who's. I feel like the critics are probably a bunch of bitches, in my opinion. But Warner Brothers Japan.
Yeah, we're a bunch of bitches.
Yeah, we're a bunch of bitches
because we're critics.
That's true. But it debuted worldwide on Netflix.
Oh, this has an inverted tomato score. The critics gave it lower than the audience. That's funny.
Damn, that's...
Usually it's the other way around, where the critics give it, like, way too high, because, like, they're paid off or whatever.
Right. Nah, dude, that's weird. That's... People are weird. Critics are weird, dude. Never listen to critics. But, yeah, so the oops, excuse me. The premise is, and this is from Mal, in a Tokyo where gravity has been broken, the story is set in Tokyo after bubbles that broke the laws of gravity rained down upon the world. Cut off from the outside world, Tokyo has become a playground for a group of young people who have lost their families, acting as a battlefield for parkour team battles as they leap from building to building, betting necessary goods and such. Hibiki, a young ace known for his dangerous playstyle, makes a reckless move one day and plummets into the gravity-bending sea. His life is saved by Uta, a girl with mysterious powers. The pair then hear a unique sound audible only to them, and their encounter leads to a revelation that will change.
Oh, that's the sound that keeps playing.
Yeah.
That's like the sound. He's hearing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of, like one of those like horror anime. I can't think off the top of my head right now, but.
Just like the repeating melody. It's like only three or four notes and you just keep hearing it. And then that's how you know they're coming to get you.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
I was going to say Paranoia Agent, but it's not that. Something else. I forgot.
Anybody have initial thoughts on what they thought? What were you expecting? How did you feel about it overall in general before we jump into some of like the themes and stuff?
I wasn't expecting it to be like sports related.
Oh, that's why Danny liked it.
I mean, that's not why I liked it, but I also wasn't expecting Yuta to be very, have a childish personality. The cover didn't, she didn't look like she was going to be that, kid-like.
Well, the trailers also kind of were...
Well, I didn't watch the trailer, so I had no idea what I was getting into, so.
I watched them because it's just, like, on the newscast, I watch them, you know, before I...
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, what else? Any other thoughts, or?
No. Like I said, I mean, I kind
of... Operation Unthink.
I kind of figured that it was going to revolve around some sort of, you know, post-apocalyptic kind of thing, but I mean, it definitely grabbed my attention with that first when they were doing the tournament and stuff like that. So it's just like, oh, okay, well, this is kind of neat. Mm-hmm. So it kind of brought me back to what was that show? Prince of Stride.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nick, what are your initial thoughts of it overall?
It reminds me of what's the movie we reviewed? Was it Makoto Shinkai, Weathering with You?
Oh yeah,
where everything was raining.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's kind of a little bit like that. I think I liked Weathering with You a little more, but it's I don't know if we mentioned it's kind of like Little Mermaid a little bit.
Yeah,
but
not
the Disney one. Anyway, yeah. But not really. It's pretty different.
They pull things from that story, and that story is in this anime.
I had no expectations going in. I didn't even know what it was about. I just turned it on. So I was just hoping to be entertained. I was hoping I'd get something from it. I watched the dub on Netflix.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, I did too.
I couldn't go 2x speed because Netflix doesn't support 2x speed. So
I watched the sub.
That's 1 point against Bubble.
Yeah, it was cool actually on Netflix. It's like in a bunch of different languages and in for sub and dub, which is nice.
Gotta watch it in German.
Yeah, you gotta watch it in German, dude.
Everything sounds more harsh.
My initial thoughts,
I think it's fairly rated on MAL on my anime list.
I
think the score is somewhat fair for that.
It's a 7.3 on MAL, 33. I did not know too much about it.
In other words,
either.
A Nick 5 to 6.
I did not know too much about it other than, like, the synopsis I read you was kind of like the ones that I read when I was reporting on it on the newscast. And the trailer doesn't give off too much either. Like, all you kind of knew was, like, these mysterious bubbles that make noise were coming down on Tokyo, and Tokyo was sealed off by a big, huge bubble dome. And then everything outside of the bubble was, like, normal and fine. But, like, yeah. And it flooded. When all the bubbles popped, it flooded Tokyo. So,
You could say they're in their filter bubble. I don't know. Maybe not.
Okay.
It's a metaphor for social media.
It's a metaphor for climate change.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Weathering with You is a better metaphor because it was literal.
It also has, like, this zero gravity effect, too.
Yeah, yeah, but it affects the gravity.
Yeah, they jump around. I don't know if this is supposed to be sci-fi, but, like, the distance they can jump as they're doing parkour is, like, insane.
Yeah, I think that has to do with it, too, like, being within the bubble. But, like...
So the bubble, like, lets them do that?
Yeah. But my initial thoughts were, like, you know, see, I just saw Tetsuro Araki, and I was like, oh, shit. Okay, what's this? And then I saw the other names, and I was like, Hiroyuki Sawano? Ginnara Bucci? What? Huh?
Yeah, Sawano, baby.
And, I don't know. Sawano just can't do anything wrong, in my opinion. Like, they just can't.
He's kind of like the Makoto Shinkai of music. All of his music is good, but it sounds the same.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't know.
He's like, oh, that was pretty good. Sounds the same, but I don't care.
He literally can't do nothing wrong. I don't know. But yeah, a lot of the staff is like, they're working on Spy Family or Attack on Titan. But I really, when I watched it, I was like, God, this is fucking cool, man. Like, I thought it was, I don't think it's like this fucking amazing thing, obviously, like, you know, 10 out of 10 or anything. But like, it was
like
really,
the presentation of it, the animation.
Yeah, just the execution of it. I like the story and everything too. You know, it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
interesting.
I like,
the other critics might disagree.
The other critics suck ass.
I'm just gonna read off other people's critiques.
God. But yeah, no, I thought it was pretty sweet. So, to kind of further break it down, you know, without just.
I figured something out. Okay.
I'll kind of, you know, stop the three of us before we get into any mega spoilers until later on.
Are we going to do like a synopsis of it or?
Just really quickly to walk through like what kind of happens, but like the main guy, Hibiki, he has very sensitive hearing. And so, like, he wears these headphones to kind of help with that, you know, to muffle it a little bit. And he can hear this sequence of melody. It's like four notes. And they kind of start the movie. Well, first of all, the movie has a fucking anime opening, which is kind of cool. Yeah, like, it has, like, a straight-up anime opening. And then it gets into the story. And then, so they start off by explaining, like, oh, yeah, we're doing this parkour, battlecore thing. Where we bet, like, food and water and necessities and stuff like that. And, of course, he's kind of a lone wolf to his team. He doesn't really care about his team too much. And he's kind of got his walls up, his guard up, you know, emotionally, you could tell.
Also, his earphones. It's a metaphor. Well, no, he's too sensitive of hearing, right? So he has to wear those?
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like I just said that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, like, he wears these headphones, and then he kind of just wins the whole thing, you know, after one of his teammates almost falls in what is called an antlion pit.
He's pretty much like Baby Driver.
Anyways, so, an antlion pit, they're, like, these pink, swirly pits that are in the sea, and once you go in them, you know, who fucking knows where you end up, you know? It's kind of like
a black hole.
Kind of, yeah, they're kind of, I don't know too much about antlion pits, but like, they're things that happen up in space that are happening.
What kind of pit? What did you say?
Antlion pit.
Like the bug, the ant, and lion, the lion. Okay.
Yeah.
That's weird.
They are a kind of like wormhole that happens in space. Like there's black holes and antlion pits and things. Those things that are happening in space are happening in the water. And so, you know, you can understand why that's really risky to be playing fucking parkour matches, you know, in that shit. But like,
yeah, that'd be really scary.
Yeah, it's fucking scary. And so it introduces the characters that way. And then that same day, Hibiki runs to the Tokyo Tower because he's hearing the and no one else.
Oh, you know what? It reminds me of like Boogie Pop Phantom, I think.
What? What do you mean?
I don't know. Didn't they play like the same songs all the time?
Okay. Anyway. I don't know what you're
not the story,
about.
Not at all, but just like just
completely,
you know, the repeated
completely
song.
Irrelevant to what we're talking about.
Well, you mean the song, like, that song you just mentioned it.
There's a melody in Boogie Pop Phantom?
Yeah, the
I
melody.
Don't remember.
Isn't there a melody?
Watch, Nick is gonna find it and then he's gonna post it and be like, I told you.
Yeah. Right at the end of the episode I'll figure it out.
Right at the end of the episode. No, and then he falls into the water and then
it's 18 if
Uta, okay.
I'm just kidding.
And then Uta forms after a bubble touches his face, and a bunch of bubbles form this girl, this blue-haired girl, and then she saves him. And then they go back to the boat that all him and his team stay at, and they're like, whoa, dude, Uta's, or, well, they don't call her that, because they don't name her that until later.
They don't
later.
Know who she is at first.
They don't know who she is, but they're just like, well, she might as well stay with us.
And one of them said, hey, maybe we should call her Ariel, and he got fucking slapped in the face. They're like, no, we're in Japan.
By Disney, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking Mickey Mouse came out and he's like, what was that?
He was like, nope, I'm gonna sue
you. Get one of those fucking ant wormholes, bitch.
Yeah. But so they discover that she has like an affinity like with these cat like movements, jumping around, flipping around like a damn cat.
Well,
and
she kind of follows Hibiki's movements because they went to do some training because they were up for a match or something like that, and Uta became like kind of like a puppy, you know, and or like even just like a young pup with a mother or something like that. She just follows Hibiki like
yeah. I'm still
duckling.
I'm still talking about right before that, because like they right when they all woke up the next day, when she was brought back, she kind of was like jumping around, flipping around like a cat, and then she put her hand in the hot soup and then whatever. They were like, well, dude, she's like flipping around, jumping around. Maybe you should train her in doing some parkour stuff. And then they do. And she follows Hibiki around, like Danny said. She follows him around a lot because she kind of, she was like, he was like the first person she saw.
Attached.
Yeah. And so then also the one hot teacher chick, I forget her name already, but
is that, she's like the scientist lady?
Makoto, yeah. Scientist lady. Thick scientist lady who's really
dude,
hot.
Scientist lady, that's my kink right there.
Dude, she was fine. She was fine as wine. She's kind of like the motherly figure on the boat to all the kids and the parkour team and Shin or whatever. And she, Uta sleeps with her at night in her room. And at night, she kind of reads her stories, and she reads her The Little Mermaid by Hans Christian Andersen. The original one.
Yeah. Not the original one is like tragic, because at the end, the mermaid turns into bubbles, right?
Yes. Yes.
Seafoam.
Pretty much every Disney story, they made it like a happy ending.
Yeah.
When all of them were sad endings.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
In the original, they just fucking die. Everyone dies.
Yeah, like Pinocchio, Beauty and the Beast, like all that stuff is just like,
mm-hmm.
It's sad at the end, but Disney's like, no, true love, we make you smile.
I don't like the original because everyone dies.
It's such a downer.
Such a bummer.
I honestly, though, I like the Disney versions better.
No, yeah, no, seriously. Yeah.
I know it's cheesy, but I don't care.
Throughout the movie, you kind of see Uta realizing that if she touches Hibiki, she starts bubbling up a little bit. So, like, you kind of realize, like, oh, shit.
She starts to fucking disintegrate, dude.
Yeah. And which is, like, that's kind of another part about it. And Uta kind of opens up Hibiki a little bit. And Hibiki is, like, saying all this stuff, like, you know, 5 years ago when the original bubble fall happened, I was at the Tokyo Tower and it exploded. And I heard this song. And now I keep hearing it, and no one could. And he was kind of explaining like where, why he never figured out why he had like the sensitive hearing, and his mom took him to the doctor and the ENT all the time. And when they at the Tokyo Tower, he heard the song, and he was the only one who could hear it. And then, boom, the explosion happened during the bubble fall, and it was crazy, and then drowned Tokyo. And so this other battle corps team challenges them by kidnapping the science lady, and then some other shit happens, and then that's when the discoveries of, like, what's going on with the fucking bubbles kind of start happening. And I don't want to get too much into that. But anyway, that is just kind of a not very quick at all walkthrough of what we're dealing
with. No, that's fine, though. That's kind of what we want anyway.
Yeah. But, like,
I find that helps me contextualize things a little better rather than just jumping right in, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Unless you're doing, like, a five-minute YouTube video. But, yeah.
Sure, yeah. I also do want to mention Mamoru Miyano plays Shin, by the way, if anyone recognized that voice. And Jun...
I didn't, because I watched the dub.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you'll watch the dub.
I'm a patriot.
Alice Hirose plays Makoto. Jun Shisan plays Hibiki. And Ririya plays Uta. But, when the Little Mermaid part happened, that's kind of when I was like, oh, wait a minute, she's made of bubbles. Like, it's like...
You're like, oh, wait, it's the Little Mermaid.
Foreshadowing.
I forgot.
Foreshadowing the foreshadow.
I wonder how much she weighs.
Like 2 pounds, not even.
Yeah.
But do bubbles even weigh? Who knows?
Do you think she's like a slime?
Like a slime? Well, that's part of it, right? Because, like, there's that part where Makoto is talking to Hibiki and... Uta about, because she teaches the kids, like, she gives them an education while they're there, and she talks to them about science and teaches them science stuff. And there's that one part where they're talking about spirals. Uzu.
Oh, like fucking and, God damn it, who's Junji Ito?
Junji Uzumaki? Ito, yeah. That's part of it. Well, yeah, which is funny, right? Because the theme of that story is like how spirals are an innate shape of life, right? So, like,
the golden ratio.
You see it in the galaxy. You see it in one's eyes. You see it in your fingers. The pattern
see
in your fingers.
See it in your poopy.
You see it in your... Ew. If you got a snake poop, rope snake coming out.
Ew.
Yeah, it should look like
Ew.
Ice cream.
Gross. Oh, my God.
But no, like, the spiral is like a shape of life, right? Kind of like some other things that are shapes of life. And so she was kind of telling that to Uta while Hibiki was there taking notes and... that's kind of, they start kind of talking about the birth of life and how, like, in another 100 million, like another 100,000 years or million years, everything is going to break down again and then big bang again and come back. Right. And it kind of alludes to a life cycle and, how the shape of the spiral is evidence of that. Right. Because it just keeps going. Right. It keeps going around, around, around till you go back to the middle again, and then back out again, and then back to the middle again. And that's very true. That's very true. Whether you believe in reincarnation or not, right? I honestly believe that when I die, I'm going to wake up as somebody else. Not, you know, whatever.
I'm
going to
wake up screaming.
Screaming, coming out of, you know, a uterus and all that stuff and whatever.
Don't say that word, Sam.
Yeah, Nick doesn't know what that is, everyone. But, like, no, like, I just...
Yeah, it's a myth.
It's a...
Oh, God.
No, I've seen it in hentai. Or, no, doujins, whatever.
you know, like, it's kind of like, you know, when a plant dies or whatever, you can take the... You can take some of the buds and or fruit that comes off of it and replant it, right? So it's just like, kind of like... Which is part of the theme of... It's part of... Well, number one, it's part of the theme of The Little Mermaid, number one. Number two, it's a big theme in this, which is really cool. How quickly can you connect with somebody in your lifetime whose life cycle is only a couple days, right? And so, like...
It's like your cats.
Yeah, like, they know you their whole life if you have them from a kitten, right? Or most of their life, you know, if you adopt them when they're 1 or 2 years old. And then they're only a part of mine when you're a part of their whole life. And it's just kind of like... How long will it take you to make that connection? You know, and it's just kind of like, that was probably my favorite part about it. Because with these, in one of the big races towards the climax or towards the end, Uta, uses the Fibonacci sequence over an antlion pit as it spirals to kind of get over it by timing her jumps across these bubbles. And then she makes the choice to, like, sacrifice an arm by touching Hibiki's arm to grab onto, to grab the flag, right? Because the point of the game is to grab the flag at the end of the course, quote-unquote. And her arm bubbles up and just goes away, right? And it's just like, well, what the hell is happening, right? When you touch a bubble, it pops, right? So it's just kind of like, the life cycle of a bubble is you blow it, and then it lands, and then it pops. Or you blow it, it comes up, and then you touch it, and then it pops. And so, like, I just thought that was really cool. There's other themes in it that I'm not talking about. I just happen to be talking about some of my favorite parts in it.
No, that's the main stuff. That's the main
ones, I would say those are the very obvious ones, which I happen to like. But what were your guys' like takeaways, observations of, before we get into other things like background and animation stuff, what were your takeaways of like some of the way things went down?
Danny, you go first.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to get my opinions from other people.
I did enjoy, you know, the whole aspect of Uta kind of being a child and how Makoto kind of teaches her throughout the time she's there. And also the fact that Uta is the only person that knows that if she touches Hibiki, she kind of turns into bubbles and all that kind of stuff. So the fact that she kind of sacrifices saving a life over her own so that she can be this human, it definitely resembles the themes in The Little Mermaid, at least the storybook version of The Little Mermaid. So, and The Little Mermaid is definitely one of my favorite stories, and it's the theme of it. Yes, it's really sad because, you know, The Little Mermaid, she's in love with a human and she decides to sacrifice her own self to save the prince, and hence why, you know, she turns into seafoam and everything like that. So.
And she starts calling him, I totally forgot to mention that. She starts calling him that too. She starts calling Hibiki like
the prince.
Hibiki-sama, and
Uta points to Hibiki and says, "You're the prince."
Yeah.
And she points at her and says, "I'm the Little Mermaid."
Yeah. She like got obsessed with that story. Yeah. Not realizing how close to her life it was, you know.
And
it was,
right. Yeah. So, and just the relationship between Uta and Hibiki and everything like that is really cute. And they start to realize, especially Hibiki realizes how he feels about Uta, and, you know, the climax of the end of the story definitely hit him really hard the choices that he needed to make.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I really enjoyed the partnership and how Hibiki became more of a team player for his team. Because in the beginning of the movie, you know, Hibiki is kind of a loner. He feels like he is too good for the rest of to do teamwork with the rest of his team and stuff.
Yeah, he's got his walls up and
right. So, and he kind of starts to open up to Uta about his personal life, and kind of, you know, he's not really this big manly man. He's more sensitive. So, and
he's a pretty boy.
Okay for you to be sensitive.
How old are these characters supposed to be? Like high school or something?
They have to be kids. Yeah. Like 15, 16.
Because I remember.
Tell anime, everyone looks the same age.
I remember Hibiki mentioning, like, because when he is talking about the tower incident 5 years ago when he was there before it exploded, he was definitely shorter and much more.
Oh, kid-like. He looked like a tiny kid. He looked like he was like 9.
He looked like he was like 9 or 10 or something.
He might have been 10. Then, so maybe, 15. Okay.
Maybe 15, 16. They're
anime years old. AKA 15.
They're anime years old, yeah. But I, yeah, no, I agree. I think in the amount of time we got to see all the characters, they all got, like, this connection to Hibiki that kind of builds their character a little bit, and I thought that was really cool.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of the side characters really felt like side characters. It was mostly him.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's Uta.
That's their role, and they did it. I'm saying they did it well, and they built it enough. They didn't build it too much.
I don't think they did, though. I don't remember any of the side characters, really. None of them were that impactful to me.
Well, you don't remember their names, I bet, either, so.
I don't even remember the main characters' names.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So
running guy. Bubble girl.
Running guy. Okay, so, Nick, what is your initial thoughts, overall thoughts?
So I'm a lot more lukewarm than you guys on Bubble. I thought it was fine. It felt more like an excuse to just do some really cool animation, like some parkour animation. I agree with Sam and Danny on, like, you know, the themes of what do you call it, like connecting with the world, like getting out of your bubble, I guess. Like, that's kind of the lame way to say it, but. And how everything is connected, and like, you know, you have a short time with any given person or thing, right? So,
yeah,
I get that. It just felt a little bit. It didn't feel as like emotional to me as a lot of other, even just anime movies. Like, I would say Makoto Shinkai movies are all like have more emotion than this, but
sure.
Part of the problem, though, is like they had the, okay, I figured out the word late motif. I can't pronounce it. Late motif. That's just the recurring song, basically. I feel like if they had a better soundtrack, that would have been a big boost.
I want you to go to Japan and go up to Hiroyuki Sanada's face
fuck
and
you.
Say that to him.
Hey, spit in his ear. You suck.
I don't know what Nick is talking about, but I thought the music was pretty spot on for what the movie was trying
to deliver.
If
I don't have it on my playlist by tomorrow, it's not good, okay?
So what it sounds like, Nick, is like to me and Danny, it was a pretty decent movie, and to you it was kind of mid, or?
Yeah, for me, honestly, it was kind of a mid anime movie. It's not, I wouldn't say it's bad. I think it's fine.
I feel like
I'm just lukewarm.
I feel like this is the type of movie that if nobody tells Nick to watch it, he won't watch it. Like, it wouldn't even be on his radar. Like,
I only watch the big mainstream stuff.
Well, no, I mean, also, I think I can kind of figure in my head that there will probably be people who share Nick's opinion. Because overall on Mal, it has a pretty...
No, I think a lot of people feel like that. I mean...
Yeah, more than mid-score, yeah. And I think
I didn't hate it. Like, some critics were like really ripping into it, but like,
yeah,
not very many, but a few of them.
And like I said earlier,
there's a lot of good reviews of this on YouTube, by the way. There's like five really good reviews of it.
And like I said earlier, I wasn't, you know, I don't think it's like this amazing thing or whatever. But like,
it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah. It's definitely more than what I thought it was going to be going into.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah, I mean, I think they. It's weird because like they did a good job, but it wasn't a great job to me. I didn't leave the movie like feeling a whole lot different than I usually do. I'm like, oh, that was pretty good, you know, and then that was it.
Sure.
Yeah, like the finale was good. I think maybe the first half of the movie, give or take, the first act was a little bit too long or a little bit too. I don't know, too much setup or something. Not even setup, but just it didn't give enough like pull towards the characters. Like I wasn't connecting to Hibiki as much as I would want. And same for Uta, because I feel like Uta, like the whole point of her character is she's like this innocent like alien creature pretty much. But I don't think that really lends itself well to like to connecting to it, you know.
Yeah, I think she was, I mean, she was kind of there.
She was kind of like a Rei Ayanami a little bit.
Yeah, she was kind of there to kind of break Hibiki down a little bit. Not that she knew that she was doing that.
Yeah.
But like, which is like, I think that's another theme. It's kind of like the unlikely, it's the most unlikely things that kind of in life that kind of break you down and kind of make you realize what you're looking forward to or missing out on or whatever. But okay, I think that's a fair assessment. I think,
yeah, that, and then just like the lack of, like, it just felt like a little, I don't even know how to explain it, like all the side characters felt like they didn't matter very much. Like, they were in it and they did stuff, but it was like the movie was like 100% about Hibiki pretty much, which is fine, but I also want it to be about other characters too, you know. I feel like you can get multiple, like, perspectives and stuff like that.
Well, I think the side characters' purpose, especially the parkour team,
they're just there to highlight Hibiki's problems.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, like, well, they were, yeah, there to kind of show Hibiki's evolution a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, at the in the beginning, he doesn't want their help for anything, and then at the end, he accepts their help to get Uta from the center of the tower when she goes back.
I can see how somebody who's, like, feeling similar to Hibiki would really like this movie. I'm just not feeling like that right now, so.
Sure, sure. But me kind of relating a little bit, I can see why people wouldn't as well. So I think fair assessments all around, honestly. I kind of, you know, after it was over, Trisha was like, how was it? You know, because she didn't watch it with me. But she was like, how was it? And I was like, man, it was great. I wish I would have watched it with you. You know, I thought it was super entertaining. And the story is not like this new,
see, that's good. I like that you guys like it.
Yeah. And
I don't like when we review something, we all fucking, like, feel mid about it.
Well, yeah, like, and
I mean, but sometimes it's always good to.
Sometimes it is mid.
For, like, a unanimous, it's a meh kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's always good to have different opinions instead of, like, all three of us saying, yeah, it's great.
Oh, that'd be sick.
It.
I want to find the anime where, like, one person loves it, one person hates it, and one person feels mid.
Yeah.
And we all get really, like, mad at each other, too. That'd be so,
like,
great.
I mean, like, yeah, well, like, it's kind of before the podcast, before we start recording, we're like, okay, so in this one, Danny hates it, okay? And then Nick, you fucking love it.
Danny, I'm going to feed you your lines. You got to read the cue cards.
We, like, plan it out. Yeah, no, I can't wait for that to happen. Because and honestly,
what? Oh, yeah, we need our audience to recommend us something that they think. One will like, one will hate, and one will feel.
Oh, yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, do that. Yeah.
Well, it's got to be like one person loves it, one person hates it.
Yeah.
And then one person's mid. And then everybody gangs up on the person who thinks it's mid.
You're crazy. All right.
What's your problem?
But then the person who hates it is going to gang up on the person who's meh about it.
No, because mid is the most insulting thing of all.
Dude,
yeah,
I
can respect hate.
But yeah, no, I get that. I feel that. That being said, how did you guys feel on the production? Okay, and so let me just say this. I don't know a lot of these animators' names. The only ones I recognized was Asano and Saito. But there was a couple people who worked on, I think, Thunderbolt Fantasy, who were doing stuff for this, which is cool. And a lot of people who were doing Vinland Saga worked on this.
Was Attack on Titan animation involved?
Yeah, a lot of staff that were.
It was Wit Studio, right? So they know what they're doing about.
Yeah,
it's pretty much Attack on Titan in a bubble, right? Kind of. There's no Titan, but
Attack on Bubbles.
They had, like, very similar movements.
A lot of the staff who had done some, which is cool because some of the staff, there's some staff on here that only did the Wit Studio AOT, and then there's a bunch of staff who did the last three or four at MAPPA, right? So,
yeah.
Or who worked on, not did, but worked on. But there was a lot of, I thought the animation was really sweet, and there was this kind of, and a lot of people might have hated this, I happen to love it. There was this kind of stylistic choice to do this thing where if they had zoomed in on a character's face, it was really fucking detailed.
Mm-hmm. Like the eyes and everything.
You could see the pimples and blackheads.
Kind of like when SpongeBob does it, you know?
Oh, God.
Like, yeah.
Or like Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah. Maybe not that extreme, but not that extreme, but that's what it reminded me of. But just so the I don't, some people might think that's stupid and it looks inconsistent or weird. I happen to love it. I don't know why. I just really liked it. There was it kind of, I think, was a choice made by, like, to kind of be like, no, this is really for real. Like, if you look into this character's eyes, this is how they wanted you to, they wanted to evoke a feeling in you by looking in the eyes, you know. Yeah.
They wanted to trick you.
I will say a favorite part of mine is when Hibiki and Yuta kind of have their moment up on the roof where Uta found Hibiki's secret
secret garden.
Like, secret garden and stuff.
Yeah.
And she kind of admits to him that she has been the one who has been singing that melody ever since he was little. So, and then that's kind of when...
Get out of my head, Xavier!
They started doing that, like, parkour unison.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah, like, I loved that whole thing. And then once they were done, you know, Hibiki kind of wanted to give Uta a high five, but she kinda,
oh, yeah.
Like, she was hesitant because
they
she
do the high five and she disappears.
She didn't, well, no, she didn't
I know,
disappear.
That would be funny
she
if just, they did, though.
She just hesitated because, you know, she didn't want, you know.
She didn't want
what
to
if she, yeah. What if she just wore, like, a glove?
She did.
Well, she
wear
did,
a glove.
But she was afraid that even with the glove that it would, yeah.
What if they developed a special material just for her that she could wear?
But they didn't know that she could disappear like that.
Yeah, they didn't know that at the time. Yeah,
it was it, that was her secret. So.
Yeah, no, that part was sweet. Yeah. That whole, like, the music mm-hmm. and the animation mm-hmm. there was just like. You could definitely tell that was, like, what Nick said earlier. But that was a spot where they were like, okay, we need to go all out on production on this part. Yeah.
Miyazaki, like, comes in the studio and burns out a cigarette on their foreheads.
This is the part where you draw good. The animation is decently consistent, I think. But
yeah, I really like the color palette.
Yeah.
Like the nighttime. Oh, I like the nighttime scenes.
Yeah, dude. The nighttime scenes were sweet.
Kind of reminds me of Aria a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a very open environment, but still, like, there was a lot of pinks and blues, and that was kind of cool.
That's
and
what
then
I'm
in the daytime, it was very earthy, obviously.
This
right?
is just a big gender reveal party movie. That's all it
it's
is.
A big gender reveal.
Somebody did a meme where I think it was on Twitter. They're like, What's that? There's an AI that can draw pictures, and it drew a picture of the Death Star gender reveal. Just exploding.
What's crazy too is a lot of the background and CG animation of, like, the buildings kind of moving around and floating around were done by, like, Silverlink, OLM, Kinema Citrus,
the second rate studios. IG. I'm just kidding.
and the Fukuoka branch of Trigger helped as well. This was, like, a huge team of people, you guys.
Yeah.
Like, there was no way that, like, this movie would look bad anywhere, kind of, to be honest with you. Like, it was just like, they were just like, where's this person? I think they're at Cloverworks. Okay, go give them this cut. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
isn't that how a lot of anime is made? They just kind of farm it out?
I mean, yeah, and wherever an animator is, they want that person working on it. I mean, you know, that's part of it, I think, right? I'm not too sure. I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos on, like, how that stuff works. But it was Studio Fuga and Biho Inc., that worked on the backgrounds. Studio Fuga did Black Lagoon, Bodacious Space Pirates. They've done all the background for Haikyuu and Lupin the Third, which makes a lot of sense, right? And Robotics Notes, which makes a lot of sense because a lot of those settings are in cities, right? So that was really cool. A lot of the environment for Bubble was, like, you know, post-apocalyptic, overgrown things on buildings sinking into the sea and stuff like that. So that worked out, I think. Biho, they've done a lot of watery shit.
What? Like, literally shit?
Like literal diarrhea? Water poop.
Okay.
I feel like they've done a lot of things that, like, have a lot of water.
I don't think I would want to watch, like, diarrhea animated.
Ew.
That'd be so gross.
Just watch, you know, poop hentai or whatever.
Yeah.
But like
that's the one you subtract from your search. Minus diarrhea.
minus diarrhea. Yeah, dude, I thought the backgrounds were amazing. The production was really cool. There were some parts where it was kind of like, why is Hibiki's arm fatter in this cut, this particular cut?
But that was only one. Wobbly.
It was one time I could think of, yeah. But like, other than that, I thought it was pretty sweet.
As much as I complain about the background characters, I actually kind of like them more than the main characters.
God, Nick.
They did have like personality.
Yeah, they were wacky.
They were definitely flashy. Like, they were not your typical kind of blend in the background type of side characters.
Yeah, yeah.
They had style. They had a sense of style.
Well, a lot of time the main character is the most boring one. That's kind of true in a lot of stuff, to be honest. Because with the background characters, you could have like each one have a thing. This is my thing. I'm the fucking loud guy or whatever. Well, that one's kind of annoying, but...
I'm the loud guy.
I'm the train otaku.
So how did you guys feel on the other aspects, like the sound and all that, and, you know, all that stuff? I thought the soundtrack was sweet, in my opinion.
I definitely liked the music and
It was okay.
Soundtrack. I thought it was really interesting that they decided to do, like, to put a quote-unquote OP... In the
yeah,
opening,
there's an OP and ED.
Well, a bunch
yeah.
of movies do that, though. All the Shinkai movies do that, right?
Right, but no, here's the thing. Other and no, there are... It's not like there... Yeah.
Dragon Ball Z movies do that, too. Like, a bunch of stuff.
Well,
that.
No. But, like, so I'm not saying Bubble's the first... I'm not saying Bubble's the first to do it.
No.
But the way Bubble...
Just
the way Bubble
see it often.
No, what I'm trying to say is this. Okay, hold on.
I see it all the time, Danny. All
right, let me tell you this, because I don't want to conflate the two. So, like, the way Bubble did it, they did it like it was a TV show.
Yeah.
Where there was a bunch of... You saw all the characters, the song was going, and it was a sequence of characters doing their thing.
So it was actually like an OP.
I mean, did
How
you
did
watch
I
the movie?
That? I literally
you
don't remember.
Movie,
I don't remember
right,
it. I don't remember it. Okay, hold on.
Whereas a lot of anime movies, they do have an OP, or an opening song, and they show things, but the movie is happening while the song is happening.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it was a completely separate thing. Like, Uta was jumping around, and all the characters were jumping around.
Okay, now I remember.
And,
yeah. I've rewatched the movie, like, twice. I just skipped the OP. That's why I didn't remember it. Okay,
yeah,
it's a pretty cool visual spectacle.
Yeah. Which here's why, too. Here's why. So, if you know the band Eve... A really cool really cool J-rock band. A lot of they're known for a lot of their music videos being animated music videos.
They did the first opening for Jujutsu Kaisen.
And they did the first opening for Jujutsu Kaisen?
Sheesh.
A lot. And so they're known for having animated music videos, even just not for anime, just for their music. And so that's kind of what this was. You were watching an Eve music video with all the characters jumping around and doing this. So if you watched it by itself without watching the movie, it would still just be a cool animated music video. So I think that's kind of why it was like that. But yeah, if you guys have not seen any of Eve's music videos, you definitely should, because a lot of the times when those are made, it's just a bunch of animators like doing passion shit, like, dude, it'd be cool if we did this, and it was really cool. The last one that they came out with was directed by the guy who did Me.
Oh,
cool. Oh shit.
Yeah, so that was really cool. Or I think it was just the animation director, but I don't remember. But, like, you could tell it was something they did, absolutely. When you watch it, you're going to be like, yeah, oh, yeah, that's totally this. But anyway, yeah, no, I agree with Danny. The music was sick.
I think we covered most of it, to be honest. I think we're good.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, I thought it was pretty sweet. The production was nice. No, it's nothing groundbreaking or crazy, but it's still super entertaining, in my opinion. So... What are we thinking about? Let's score it, dude. What are you fucking thinking? What are you thinking
Danny's
about scoring?
First. I gave it a 7.
Seven what?
Say the line, Danny. Say the line.
What line?
Just say seven bubbles.
No.
Seven bubbles out of bubble.
Seven crushed eggs.
Damn.
Oh, nice.
That's what Uta did with
She's
the
like,
eggs.
Oh, look, chicken.
Pro tip, you can use the eggshell to retrieve the egg shards.
Seven, I give it, yeah, I think, I don't know, dude, I really liked it.
Score it with your heart.
Sounds like four.
I give it eight hot office science teacher ladies.
Oh, damn.
I was going to pick
Makoto?
That out of ten. Yeah, dude, she's fine as wine.
Eight used lab coats.
That's going to be a new tag on eHentai now. On Hentai.
Yeah.
Use lab coats. Oh, my God. What about you, Nick? What do you score it?
Oh, no. I can't think of an object. Okay.
Do vortex.
Ooh, I'm going to give it six sniff sponges out of 10.
Oh.
You know where the bad guy is sniffing the sponge or whatever? Was that a sponge?
No,
what was that?
He wasn't a bad guy. He was just another team.
He looked
like a bad
guy. He was a delinquent.
You're talking about Red Lobster. Yeah, he's like the captain of a parkour
team. Was it a stuffed animal or a sponge? What was it?
It was like a sponge or a...
I'm going to call it a sponge. It's a sponge because it's bubbles. Bubbles, right?
What were we saying, Danny?
Well, I was going to say it's probably like an aroma thing because...
It's his blankie. He doesn't have a blankie. He has a sponge.
Well, they're like, I mean, I have, it's something that you heat up in the microwave for like a couple of seconds and then there's lavender inside.
Oh.
So I would say it's something like that. I mean, it kind of does look like a sponge.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think there were
six delinquent sponges out of 10.
Like an illustration on it.
I said six delinquent sponges, Danny.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
Wait. You're just out here 5.5 delinquent sponges. I'm going to do that. 5.75. Okay, final answer.
Nick is just like.
One of the sponges has a tear.
All right, Nick.
I got a little too aggressive when I sniffed it.
Dude. Okay, yeah. That's very expected, I think, of all of us, I think.
Everybody should just go in and be like, all right, Psalm 8, Danny 7, Nick 6, every movie.
Every movie. That being said, I thought it was great. Looks like we all somewhat enjoyed it. But yeah, you guys should just watch it.
I forgot to mention, like, I think they were called the Undertakers. Their masks were fucking cool.
Oh, yeah. Their whole design was cool. The character design in this was sweet. Obata is, for those of you who don't know or recognize that name, that's the person who did, like, Death Note and Platinum End. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. He designed the characters, and I thought that was really cool. But yeah, the Undertaker parkour team.
Spoke was like through like a speaker on their hand.
It's a translator, yeah, because they don't speak Japanese. Yeah.
Yeah.
They came from the outside just to like partake in.
Yeah.
Foreigners.
We forgot to mention that they have like these special boots that kind of pump air out of them.
And then later on in the show, in the movie, they got to wear them.
Yeah, that part was cool. I think that was another kind of aspect to like show off a cool effect mm-hmm, for animation, mm-hmm. But yeah,
Moon Boots.
Very entertaining movie. I think everyone should watch it. It's on Netflix. So if you already got Netflix, there you go. After you watch it, go ahead and cancel it because they're raising the prices. Yeah.
Well, no, watch Arcane and Squid Game and then do it.
Oh, and then do it. Yeah. And then Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai.
And Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. Anything else?
And then cancel. Yeah, I don't know. Orange is the New Black was cool, but it took too long. I don't know.
A lot of shows do that nowadays. They just kind of drag them out, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, can we just have a show where like they know what's going to
end? Castlevania.
Castlevania. That's pretty decent.
Yeah.
And Devilman Crybaby.
Yeah, Devilman Crybaby. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. You know what? Just keep it. Just keep
all the Adam Sandler movies, you know? I mean, Adam Sandler. If you want a mean 5 out of 10 comedy, go watch one of those.
Except for Waterboy. Waterboy is a 10.
Okay.
A 10
yeah. Some of his are pretty good. Most of them are like fives.
And Billy
Gatorade.
Yeah. H2O.
Medulla oblongata. No.
Foosball. Ow. You left me to go play foosball and you left me all alone with Steve?
Ow. Danny knows the whole movie. Oh, line.
I haven't watched that movie since it came out.
Cinematography review on Waterboy. Let's go. God.
Waterboy inspired Evangelion. We're going to connect
it
to anime.
Needle dick. Oh, man. Anyway, this is now a Waterboy podcast.
Too much, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
it's related. Water. Bubbles.
Oh, water bubbles. Oh,
bubbles
dude.
Come from water, kind of.
Yeah.
Or soap, at least.
My favorite character in that movie is the farmer guy.
Oh.
With the nipples, yeah. That's funny.
The guy that, like, literally speaks gibberish and you can't understand a word.
Go on in, going out of football, yeah.
That's the official language of the South.
Dude, everyone should watch Bubble. It's on Netflix. Very cool, very entertaining movie. Go and watch that shit. Come back. Listen to this bitch cast, all right? I love you guys. I love you guys very much. And when this comes out, it will no longer be Pride Month, but I'll just say it again one more last time. Happy Pride.
Whoop, whoop.
And shout out to all y'all. And
but next month,
we
are never talking about gay people until next year. Okay? You've had your fill.
Till next year is what Nick is saying.
Oh, man.
We're just going to drape our office in, like, beige and gray for 11 months.
The official colors of straight people.
Yeah. Just like light brown.
And only eat brown foods.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I've been Sam. That's been Nick. That's Danny. And we've been the Anime Summit Podcast.